Councilman Lattisore, if you could convene the Finance Committee meeting.
Good morning, Mr. President, members of the City Council, the administration, and all of our members of the public and attendees. At this time, it is 9:24, and the Finance Committee is called to order. The two items that we need to have a motion on to move PCR 41-20 and PCR 42-20. Need a motion?
I make a motion, favorable action.
Seconded.
Motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes, Mr. President.
Very good. You have a second item?
I move 41-20, favorable action on PCR 42-20. Need a motion?
Favorable action.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes.
Close the Finance Committee meeting?
That completes the calendar for the Finance Committee. Make a motion to close the Finance Committee.
Motion to close.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Committee closed.
Thank you. The Warwick City Council will come to order and the clerk will call the roll. Here.
Here.
Did you say how?
Yes.
Here.
Here.
Mr. Lattisa?
Here.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Snappy?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Councilman Lattisore, if you could lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and I think we have to wait for Phil to put the flag up here.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Phil, if you could play the national anthem. Just before we start the meeting, I wanted to thank everybody's patience and indulgence this last week, especially our constituents at home and all the council members and the staff here at City Hall. Truly unprecedented times for us to be running a meeting over social media. It hasn't been easy at times and there's been delays. But I appreciate everybody's patience and hard work, and together we can get through these unique times. With that said, is there anything that anybody wants to say under general communications before we go into the hearings themselves? If not, Councilman Lattisaw, I believe he has to make a motion for favorable action so we can discuss the budget itself.
Make a motion for favorable action on the budget for fiscal year 21.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Councilman McAllister, Councilman Howe. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? The ayes have it. And the budget proceedings on the overall budget will start. As the public will recall, we've had several nights this week of budget hearings where the administration went through each department and gave us a presentation. Council members and the public were able to ask questions. Today, we're here to listen to what council members have to say and to discuss the budget among ourselves and to cast a vote. That being said, as I had mentioned before, and I'll mention again, probably for the last time here as a council member, that budgets for the city are not made with one vote in May. They're made throughout the year or years. As you'll know, about 82% of our budget is fixed by either salary or benefits. And if you add in commodities, I would dare to say it's even higher than that. So it puts the council every year in a unique position as to what we believe are important issues to fund and how to deal with the issues of the day. This year, it's been truly unique. I can remember with the COVID-19 crisis and just being able to survive and try to go to work and try to support our families and comfort loved ones that have been sick or, God forbid, have passed away has been truly unprecedented. I can remember my dad, he was born in 1929, talking about what it was like to live through the Great Depression. And here with 25% unemployment back then, or in the low 20s, and today with the unemployment rate throughout the country and here in Rhode Island being so hard, I know that all the council members are concerned for the people that we represent. I personally wish we could do more to help everyone, but there are certain things that are out of our control. I know the federal government has stepped up to the plate and our state leaders have stepped up to the plate. And more importantly, our constituents have. And this is a time that we all need to reflect on what's happening to the people that we represent and how we can best serve them in a time of crisis. I was pleased to see that the proposal came forward, as we had discussed last year and the previous years, of a no tax increase budget. I haven't heard any comments from any council members that would indicate that they were displeased with that either, especially with the situation that many of our constituents face. With that said, there are still many pressing issues faced by all departments, schools, DPW, police, fire, municipal workers, and doing more with less. And I'm not just talking about money, I'm talking about personnel. When people were furloughed or laid off or at home, both in the private sector and the public sector. These issues transcend budgets. There are issues that affect all our lives. As I examined this budget, I reflected on other budgets also. And one of my main concerns, as I was talking this morning with our attorney for the city council, was how people can afford to live, not only pay their taxes. And I note an article in the Providence Journal, which I think it was yesterday or the day before, that indicated that there was a 49.6% reduction in cash on hand or received as a result of sales tax or income tax or other methods of generating income for the state of Rhode Island. And I can tell you, as I examine this budget today, that's of paramount concern to me. And I appreciate the administration giving us additional information about the collection rate and what occurred this year. As you know, before the crisis hit, we were at 3/4 of our collection. And I agreed with what the administration did in giving residents and businesses an additional 30 days to pay. And I was glad to see that those collection rates had come in strong. And as Mayor Solomon had stated the other day, many of those businesses or residents, when it comes to property taxes, those are escrowed. So they were payments that were previously made to the bank. So although we finished this year in a crisis strong, I still am concerned about collection rates going forward and how that impacts every line item in this budget. And in the past, we've collected about 99%, which is significant. I'm worried next year, the next fiscal year, if we'll be able to maintain that 99% and how that affects everything else. With that said, I don't know if anybody else has general comments on the budget before we take any further action. Did anybody else want to comment overall?
Mr. President, on the budget? If I may.
Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I think we'll all agree that there's no such thing as a perfect budget. We do have a budget presented to us this year that Mayor Solomon has proposed a no tax increase budget. And I'm happy that that came to us. And I'm very pleased that the residents, taxpayers of the city of Warwick are going to have some of that financial pressure taken off of them. But I do have concerns with the revenue that we may or may not receive during the course of the year. And I also know that from a business perspective, prices go up, and so does the cost of doing business. In the business world, we know what we put on the credit card, we need to be able to pay. And when that bill comes, if we don't have the money to pay for it, that creates a problem for us. That's the biggest reason why in this past year or so, I have voted no on the three recent contracts. And it's not because I want to prevent raises to our employees who are very dedicated, loyal, and working hard. It's because I don't believe we can afford them. I don't believe we can afford those contracts. I don't believe we can continue going forward paying for the costs of healthcare, pensions, and legacy costs that the contracts are costing us. We've been talking a lot lately about how difficult it is on the taxpayers, the sacrifices that they have to make. While the taxpayers are making sacrifices, we as government and the employees of government, we also need to parallel those same sacrifices that the members of the public are incurring. Is it easy in hindsight or retrospect to take a look at a no tax increase budget and make amendments and make deeper cuts than has already been made? Sure it is. And I can assure everyone that I will continue going forward voting no on anything that I feel we can't pay for. I fully believe we cannot continue having upwards of 82% of our taxpayer dollars going to salaries, healthcare, pensions, free lifetime healthcare, et cetera. I think Mayor Solomon has done a good job in crunching the numbers, presenting us with a zero tax increase budget. But I also know when a new set of eyes look at budgets and balance sheets and P&Ls, that you can always find some money left on the table. Could I make amendments to this budget? Sure, I could. But I don't see a substantial change to what we're dealing with at the current time. What I am going to do, and my message to all department heads, the administration, and the taxpayers, is that I will continue forward in my position as finance chair. I'll continue to squeeze a dollar out of a dime. I'll continue to scrutinize every single bid request that comes before me. I will continue to analyze the necessity of 56 sixes, 3-3s, transfers, overtime, et cetera, that comes before me in the years ahead. As I said, I have significant concerns for fiscal year 2021. And I look forward to working with my colleagues on the Finance Committee. I look forward to working with my colleagues on the City Council, with the mayor, all the administration, and as always, receiving whatever guidance and assistance that I can get from our taxpayers. So having said that, I'll leave it this way. I am satisfied that we have a no tax increase budget before us. I will be supporting it, and I'll be doing my due diligence as a member of the City Council and Finance Chair in the years ahead to continue to squeeze a dollar out of every dime. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Lattifer. And,
Mr. President?
Yes, hold on one sec, Councilman. I was just going to comment that I too agree with what Councilman Lattisaw had to say about the income. I too agree that the costs and some of the costs that are in not only this budget but previous budgets that we've discussed when Councilman and now Mayor Solomon was on this council. There are issues that we talked about last fall with the actuaries that we cannot address here. Those were inherited by this administration and this council. And we all need to address those issues because in the future, as the actuary said, and as Councilman Lattisaw alluded to this morning, those are costs that cannot be sustained without changes. And the actuaries told all of this last fall. This procedure, this budget, is not the opportunity to do that. That has to be done, as I preference my remarks at the beginning of this hearing, that has to be done throughout the year, not when the budget comes to us at the end of the year. We are in unique times with COVID-19. We are in unique times with how much revenue we'll have for next year. To have a no tax increase budget this year is significant for the taxpayers, businesses, and everybody in the city. But I do not want people to lose sight of what the target is at the end of the day, which is to have these future costs balanced. And as I depart this city council, I would urge my colleagues to have that in the back of their minds every time they examine these things, because people need, our employees and our residents and our businesses need to know that at the end of the day, future budgets are going to be able to be balanced, similar to how this one this year was balanced. But those costs are going to continue to escalate as people live longer. And we really need to address these benefit packages, as Councilman Lattisaw said, free lifetime health care. I talked about it in the past, and I'm very concerned and, to be quite frank, scared for employees in the future and the taxpayers in the future. And as I said, this didn't happen overnight. It was 30, 40 years of these items creeping up when healthcare was $2,000 or $3,000 for a family plan they were given away. And now they're 20. And as the actuary said, they're just not sustainable. So I too support this budget. I do support the no tax increase, and I just don't want everybody to lose sight of some of the bigger issues that Councilman Lattisaw was discussing. And Councilman McAllister, I think that you had, were you the one that wanted to speak? One of the council members was?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our community is hurting. Unemployment is at an all-time high. People are scared that they might not, that they might still get laid off or that their company is gonna go out of business. They're also worried about what a return to work is going to look like. They're worried about childcare. There's so many different things that the residents here of Warwick are concerned about. I was speaking to a local business owner here in Appanag. They actually needed the city's, when the city delayed the tax for this quarter, they needed that because his business took such a hit these last 3 months. They've been in business for as long as I can remember here in Appanag. They were just holding on, hoping and waiting for the Paycheck Protection Program loan to come through, which fortunately it did come through. I'm on the board at West Bay Community Action. On Thursday during the board meeting, it was reported that food assistance over the last 3 months has tripled the request for food assistance. These are our neighbors that are hurting and seeking this food assistance. I am pleased in this budget that there's an additional $2 million for the schools. I see every day in my own kitchen how teachers and parents have adjusted and worked together to provide a quality education for our students. We understand, there's an understanding that the school department has requested additional funds. But at this time, I believe the $2 million is a good number. I am, however, hopeful that some additional resources will come from the federal government and from the state government. And if and when those resources come, I would like to see the schools receive those funds. So looking at this situation, looking at the conditions that our seniors are in, our business owners, our students, and all our residents, I also will be supporting this zero tax increase budget. The people of Warwick are hurting. Everybody is expected to do more with less, and I think the city should do the same. I thank my colleagues and I thank the mayor for working on this. Everybody knows that this is difficult times, and I do think that this is one thing that we can do as a city council is try to give some type of relief to the residents here of Warwick, and that's why I look forward to supporting this no tax increase budget this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman McAllister. And as you mentioned about West Bay and the food bank and the donations that are down, I would remind everybody, and it was a long time ago, Councilwoman Travis will probably remember, that we preserved Barton Farm from development. And we have a small farm over there that is run by West Bay, and it provides about 15,000 pounds of vegetables every year to the food bank. And I would encourage residents that are looking to get involved to take advantage of that purchase that the city made several years ago. No, I was happy to support it and advocate it for it. I believe there was about 70 condos that were going to go in on Barton Farm. And to have that resource in the city in time of need, like we see now, should help the community food bank as we move forward. Not only that, but with donations from the public. But if people would like to get involved, we do have, I believe it's over 60 acres, around 68 acres over there, where people can get out and plant, and that food goes directly to the food bank. But thank you for your comments, Councilman. And I too agree that the schools, I'm hoping that the federal government and the state step up to the plate and get us some more funding for the schools. And a $2 million increase is significant for the school department. And hopefully with remote learning, that we can move forward and transition back into the classroom. Hopefully that money will be sufficient for now. Are there any other comments from—
Yes, Mr. Councilman? President?
Yes, Councilwoman Travis.
Yes, first of all, I wanna thank all my colleagues who just spoke. I agree with each one of you, with everything you said. And it is, this zero balance budget right now is so important for the citizens of Warwick, because not every one of them are hurting. And, you know, and as you talk to people, whether it's seniors or that don't have any children in school, or though they have anybody that works for the city or that might be in a situation right now, some of them are not even getting medicine because they can't pay their bills. So everything that's happening right now is helping people. Everyone, there's no one that can say they're not being affected by this. And I just feel really bad because I know some people will not, you know, are gonna be out of work. I talked to both the union and the mayor, which we have nothing to do with, the council itself. But I felt like I had to do at least talk to people about it and find out what we could do to help. As far as the schools go, I really pray we can get some federal money to help them too. It's at a bad time where everybody's hurting, and unless we all work together and with a zero balance budget, that's a good step going forward. But yes, we do have to look into the benefits and all that other stuff, because we're only headed for a disaster. But I am very agreeable with this budget, and I hope that at the end we all come out of it well. And I want to thank you all for your comments.
Thank you. Is there any other council members? Councilman Ricks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Quite a lot about what this budget means, the 0% tax increase in the short term and in the long term. I don't want to go into too great detail, just repeating what's already been said. I certainly agree with the points raised by all of my colleagues this morning. And before getting into any more detail, I also want to stop for a moment and to say that the mayor's actions in finding across all departments, looking line item by line item, and certainly not getting into any labor issues, anything of that nature, because looking through the budget, the vast majority here is a matter of doing more with less. That's where most of these savings are coming from. And for that, for taking that close scrutiny and doing all of the work involved in across dozens of departments to figure out where the belt can be tightened while still offering those services to our constituents, that is commendable. And we take a look at that. We can put it in perspective against that five-year plan. I was looking it up last night. I pulled it up on my computer this morning again too. And that five-year forecast, it's often called a five-year plan, but in some ways that's a misnomer because it's not really a plan. It's a matter of laying out if everything were to stay the same, the city were to not cut any programs, not start or add to the funding of any programs, but just try to maintain the status quo with the rising tide of the legacy costs, general inflation, and other, as our actuaries would lay out, the expected costs going forward, and the general conditions with the predictions of the stock market, et cetera. We would be looking at 3% tax increases from here on out, not even truly treading water because that's not even addressing the long-term concerns, but just to get by year to year. So all of that work that went in to taking what would have been something like a 3%, maybe even closer to 4% tax increase in this particular year and chopping it down to 0%, that's tremendous. And I do want to make sure to say that because some of the stuff that I have to say next is a little less pleasant. Looking in particular at these more long-term issues, which have also become short-term issues, not just for this fiscal year that we're looking at, but the next year after that. The school finance director, for instance, I was refreshed by his candor. And this is coming from a person who did not always have confidence in his previous presentations before this council. But I must say that this year, he laid out clearly. I don't think that there was any gilding of the lily. It was just laying out, look, these are the long-term concerns. These are the short-term concerns. And the numbers, they speak for themselves, where across several different areas, the school department is having rising costs. Likewise, the city is having these various rising costs. And I am concerned both in the short term, meaning this coming fiscal year, as well as the fiscal year after that, as well as down the road. What do things look like in 5, 10, 15 years in terms of these structural deficits? To achieve this 0%, we do have going into this fiscal year a forecast of a relatively small, relative against the city budget, I believe 0.9% structural deficit. And that's assuming a 99% collection rate. The administration, it did get back to me when it came, and I believe that all of my colleagues also received this email, showing that in fiscal year 2019, we did achieve a 99% collections rate. So that type of collections rate, it's certainly not unprecedented. However, in fiscal years 2009 and 2010, the finance director informed us that we had only a 98.3% collections rate, which is millions of dollars. I'm not sure if we will be able to achieve a 99% collections rate this year. It may be more like those years at the height of the last recession. It might even be worse than that. And at the same time that we are coping with these long-term concerns that will have to be addressed, because what keeps me up at night is I'm going to be here in the city of Warwick in 10, 20 years. I don't know if I'll be an officer or not. Don't know what the future will hold, but I know that I'm going to be here in Warwick. Warwick is my home. And at that time, there are going to be city employees who are working for the city right now. They're making their mandatory pension contributions. They have expectations as to their benefits. And in 10, 20 plus years, I don't know if when we see each other in the grocery or you know, hopefully by that point without masks, but when we see each other in the grocery or on the street or wherever it may be, I wanna be able to look those folks in the eye and to say the actions that we took years ago in these coming years, those actions were able to save those long-term benefits. And I don't wanna have to look them in the eye and say, we tried and we saw it coming, but we're sorry that you lost a lot of your pension, or we're sorry that you lost your health care. I just can't imagine that conversation. And for that reason, I do have these concerns about the structural deficit that we might be getting into. And I certainly hope that we are able to have that higher collections rate and that these various measurements, these various measures that are being taken are able to keep us or help us get onto a more sustainable path. Because I have to balance those concerns that are keeping me up at night, with what's in front of us today, an unprecedented in my lifetime, in my parents' lifetimes, pandemic, unprecedented unemployment crisis in my lifetime, in my parents' lifetimes. And, you know, certainly I don't think that this is going to be the sort of Great Depression crisis. I think that this is a very temporary phenomenon, and we are going to come back with a strong economy in the near term. I don't know exactly what that near term is, but I'm talking about a year, 2 years, more or less. I'm not talking about a decade of stagnation. And for those reasons, because of this immediate crisis, as much as these long-term concerns about the deficit and the city's ability to fund these legacy costs, and really, I'm not a big fan of the term legacy costs. That's, I suppose, a very accurate term, but it comes down to a very simple concept to me. It's about keeping the promises that we're making. And if we can't keep a promise, then don't make it. But I have to balance those long-term concerns, which very much I do believe can be addressed to bring us back to that path, make this sustainable and keep those promises. And as much as I would want to take the sort of step that would be a major step today to put us on that more firm footing, at the same time, I have to look at the immediate realities of today, at how, as Councilman McAllister on the board of West Bay Community Action pointed out, the need for the food banks, the demand has tripled in our area. We're looking at, as some of my colleagues have stated, over 20% unemployment. And so I think that the mayor has the correct approach here. I must agree with my colleagues who have spoken thus far on the city council that this year, a 0% tax increase, it makes a big difference in people's lives. It's about the money. It's money that I've heard from so many constituents, they just can't afford another dime. They can barely afford these taxes as they are, especially so many of my constituents got hit hard by the last tax reval. And so it's about that money, even if it's another $50, $100. So many folks, they're unemployed, they have reduced hours, they have uncertainty moving forward. And for those reasons, although I am concerned about the long term, I am concerned about the near term, the medium term, and the short term. This current upcoming fiscal year, 2021, the fiscal year after that, I don't want us to be in a position where after all of the belt tightening that we find ourselves faced with a larger tax increase than any of us wants when it comes to fiscal year 2022. In fact, I was looking over those numbers for that five-year forecast that was presented to us on August 19th, 2020. And those numbers, they are scary. Over 3% increases projected for the next 5 years. And that was all before the stock market came down. And I certainly hope that the stock market comes back up in the next year or two. But if it doesn't, if the stock market stagnates or if it takes a downturn, then that's going to also force our hands because our annual required contribution will be going up. Well, I think that I've said enough at this time. I don't want to talk in circles, but suffice to say that this was not a simple decision for me. And while I suppose that politically, it might be simpler for me to just say only the positive about the 0%. And it is a huge positive. I do want to make sure to express these concerns because it's not just about the 10 years, the 20 years from now. We have some major problems that are staring us down for the next 1, 2, 3 years in the very foreseeable future, including all of the uncertainties with the rising costs of the school department and the rising costs on the city side to make sure that we are keeping up with the rising costs, the expected rising contributions to continue to fund the pensions, as well as keeping up with healthcare inflation. And so I would just briefly, end with a note of agreement with Councilman McAllister that we have some reason to believe that the federal government and the state may be able to pass aid on it down to the city. And I do agree that we need to be then passing that along to the school department so that the school department does not end up in a difficult situation with a large structural deficit. And the reason that I'm comfortable saying that now, instead of advocating for immediately more money to be sent to the school department, is because we do have not only the uncertainties on the downside, the what ifs of say that the busing cost essentially doubles because of a requirement to do 50% of capacity. We also have uncertainties as to whether, and I hate to say it quite this way, but we don't know if the entirety of the next school year, if our students are going to be able to go back to the school buildings. And if we have a portion of the school year that resembles what the end of this current school year looked like, well, there are going to be financial savings there in terms of the busing costs, some of the other costs that are associated. But those, while they might give some short-term reprieve, they do not solve these long-term problems. Well, I look forward to hearing the rest of my colleagues' comments and moving forward in a positive direction, sending that positive message to constituents that the Warwick City Council, that the mayor, we have found ways to tighten the belt to provide, at least in the short term, during this unprecedented in our lifetimes and many of our parents' lifetimes, unprecedented crisis, and doing our part to ease that uncertainty and that tax burden that is making, in order to make a real difference in people's lives. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. And I was glad to see that you brought up that five-year forecast because it points out what the administration had done to change that five-year forecast, which was they didn't fill a lot of these positions in a time of crisis. And you heard that throughout the week. So credit is due where it's earned. And that when you do not fill those positions, it significantly reduces five-year forecasts. And I think that that's what you saw today, or this week when the budget was presented to us. Not to mention, as you had mentioned about the COVID-19, that right now since March, there's been a 380% increase in unemployment in Warwick. And I'm glad to hear all the comments from colleagues about their concern over that and the fact that we're able to, because of the hard work of everyone involved, to offer a zero tax increase budget to both businesses and to our residents. Is there any other council members that would wish to speak on the budget?
Yes, Council President.
Yes, Councilman Sinapi.
So just briefly, I know it goes without saying, I was glad to see the additional $2 million added to the school department budget. And it's probably clear to everyone here, either listening in or in council chambers, that it was a very different experience of the school department. And I think if some of you have noted, it was like night and day, especially as compared to last year. And I think that's entirely due to the fact that there's an incredible level of cooperation now between the school committee, the school department, the city council, and the mayor's office. And the school department and I are going to continue to work on their budget while we await news from the federal and state government regarding aid. Because of now, we don't know how either of those are going to shake out. And we're going to wait for final figures regarding any surplus that may exist as a result of the pandemic forcing the shift to remote learning. And because of that, I'll be docketing a resolution to ensure we are ready to react to the school department's needs as everything becomes more clear, especially now, given that the pandemic has required us to be more mutable than we've ever really been. So I'm looking forward to voting yes on this budget, the zero tax increase, plus the ridiculous level of diligence with assuring each line item is as appropriate as possible. It's very much worth passing this. I think it's an easy call.
Thank you, Councilman Tanapi. Is there any other council members that wish to speak?
Yes, Mr. President.
Councilman Qualley.
In listening to everyone's remarks, I keep on hearing that we are hoping that the state and that the federal government will help us. And we should pursue whatever sort of financial assistance we have received in the past, that it continue and that it be expanded. But by doing this, we're already receiving a certain portion of our budget that we spend to keep the city running. That is probably about 20% of our budget. Someone else would have a number, but I know that we could not afford zero tax increases if we did not receive the aid from the federal government and the state government. The way we pay for the schools is by a property tax. And that is really a regressive tax and is very difficult to maintain. It, in my mind, is just kicking down the road, kicking the can down the road. That is something that as a state, we have to look at. I think that by saying that we are relying upon the state and federal government in order to provide us with more aid, that we are saying that the way we do business currently is not sustainable. We're not going to be able to meet our future health costs if we keep on going the way we're going. We've heard that from our actuaries that said, if this were a business, you would have walked away from it 10 years ago. That is a serious problem. And it is a problem that is not going to go away by continuing to not aggressively address it. We are saying to future generations, this is going to be your problem. And perhaps 20 years from now, there will be no health care for people that work for the city. I don't know. That is something that weighs on my mind at times. The pensions that are being promised to people that are going to beginning work sometime in the near future for the city. I think that there should be a caveat when they come on board that this is not a guarantee. This is based upon a lot of assumptions that are going to take place over your entire working career. I think that we have to change the conversation to see how we can try to do things differently. Two of the biggest things that stand in the way of progress is to say, we've always done it this way, and we've never done it the way that some people are suggesting. Well, I follow all of the discussions concerning how we should run the city. And I think that the fact that there's been pretty much a consensus from everyone who's spoken at the budget hearings that we are in need of state and federal aid. At some point, it might make more sense if we just go to a statewide system. And I just want to, start that conversation. I think it's worth having, and I think it is something that we should consider. That's all I have, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman Qualley. Are there any other council members that would like to speak on the budget? If not, the motion was made for favorable action and it was seconded. No further discussion. The clerk will call the roll. A yes is to approve.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes.
A budget stands passed. Councilman Lattiser, if you could move the next piece of legislation.
That would be the approval of PCR 4120, a resolution relative to transfers, supplemental appropriations, and emergency appropriations. Committee recommended favorable action.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Councilman McAllister, Councilwoman Travis. Is there any discussion on the supplemental appropriations, the items that are moved within departments at the end of the year? If not, a yes is to approve, and the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. Marola?
Yes.
Mr. Qualley?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
Nine yes.
That stands passed. If there's no further business to come before the city council, I'd ask for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Council President.
Mr. Yes.
President. Will yes. We have to go to the docket session?
We typically don't, but considering that we're in a pandemic, we can go to the docket session. At the budget hearings, we typically don't go into a docket session, but if there's no objection from council members, I think that's appropriate, Councilman Sinappi. Ward 1, anything to docket?
No.
No. Ward 2, anything to docket?
Pass.
Go ahead. Pass, okay. Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 8?
Just one, addressing yes. Fiscal requests for education for fiscal year 2020-2021.
Okay, and I have one also, a resolution to the General Assembly regarding reimbursement for hotel and meals tax revenue. Councilwoman Travis.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Do we need to make a motion to approve PCR 42-20?
I thought we had.
We did 4120.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Wait.
The Finance Committee on PCR 42-20.
We have a second.
I'm sorry, could the chairman repeat that, please?
Favorable action on PCR 42-20. I'm sorry, I didn't read the detail. Resolution adopting and setting the tax rate of the city of Warwick for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2020 and ending July 30th, 2021.
Seconded.
Second. Hold on. What's that? Oh, we're good. Councilman, my initial reaction was that we had, as you had brought it up, that we had voted, and the clerk is telling me we have voted on both of those. The first vote we took was on the first item that you had mentioned, and the second one on the second item. I'll defer to the just deferring to council that we've had both of those votes. If there's no further business, Councilwoman Travis.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Do I have a second? All's in favor?
Aye.
All's opposed? Have a good weekend. Council stands adjourned.